Today's music begins with two hymns on the chimes, The Church of Christ in Every Age, and O God, Our Help in Ages Past. With the latter tune still ringing in our ears, we move to the organ prelude, a pastorale on O God, Our Help in Ages Past, by Paul Mons. Next is the opening hymn, Guide Me, O My Great Redeemer, which also serves as today's postlude, a triumphant setting on the same tune by Walter Pelz. Today's anthem is from Psalms for Choir, Congregation, and Organ, a 2018 event in the St. John's Artist Series. You will hear O God, Our Help in Ages Past in its third iteration, this time in a traditional hymn setting. Finally, today's hymn after the sermon is Spirit, Spirit of Gentleness, led from St. John's beautiful Steinway grand piano.
One additional announcement. Today we'll be adding an element to our worship that has not been included in the past. We will be dedicating the offering as part of our prayer time following the sharing of joys and concerns. Granted, because you are all worshiping remotely and not present here with us, offering is not received as we would normally receive it. But offering is received throughout the week as members and friends of St. John's mail their contributions to the church or stop by and drop them off in the secure mailbox by the ramp door. Your generosity has been enheartening, especially given the unusual circumstances amid which we are all now trying to function. We've worked very hard to keep on keeping on as your church when you need us most. And now more than ever, we need your support to enable us to continue to do just that. Because our routines are different these days, it's easy to forget about weekly or even monthly offering. We are also very aware that many of you have been impacted by the pandemic in such a way that you are struggling to make ends meet or keep your head above water. If you are able to support the church financially, we are deeply grateful. If you need financial help to pay bills or feed your family, know that our Good Samaritan Emergency Fund has funds available to help you. Please speak with Pastor Addie or with me if we can be of assistance. And many thanks today to Don Atkiss, St. John's Council President, for serving as our liturgist as Pastor Addie claims some time off.
Thank you.
As we enter now into worship, I invite you to join with me in taking a deep breath. As we shift our gears and focus on this morning's theme, may we all be very aware that no matter who you are, and no matter where you are on life's journey, our deep desire is to meet you where you are and share God's love, God's grace, God's peace with you. Amen. When our son John was growing up, he liked playing with Transformers. Now, I'm not talking about the kind that back in the day made train sets run or turned on Christmas tree lights, but rather those little human-like robots with the unique ability to turn into vehicles or beasts by carefully maneuvering their various parts. Each Transformer had a story that was woven into an epic saga, unfolding in a universe where everything is more than meets the eye. Come to think of it, we do indeed live in a world in which most everything is more than meets the eye. In a world in which it is very dangerous to assume that we know exactly what a person is like or what they are capable of simply by looking at them. You see, from the moment we were born, God was eager to be in the process of transforming us. That is, if we will let God. God knows there is always more than meets the eye, that we are capable of being better than we are, that we are capable of living with greater hope and joy. I'm not talking about living with perfection. I'm certainly not talking about leading lives that are free of bad days, dark moods, or less than stellar thoughts. And we can, if we try to transform ourselves, but ultimately, we need God to make that happen in a way that will last. I can't help but notice that some pretty ordinary people in the Bible were transformed by God and lived lives that changed the world for the better. Desiring to be inspired to do the same, we enter now into worship. In the name of God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you.
As we confess our sins, I invite you to join with me in praying our prayer of confession. The words are available on our website and Facebook page. If you don't have them in front of you, please be with us in a spirit of prayer. Let us pray. Unchanging God, yet ever new, we come before you this day, longing to be transformed by your love and grace. We come desiring to be more than we are, to do a better job of living our lives in ways that honor you by reflecting the compassion demonstrated by your Son, Jesus. We come eager to be free of that which weighs us down, holds us back, and keeps us awake at night. We also come confessing that as much as we want to be transformed, we are afraid to let go of what is familiar, afraid to step into the unknown, even though you have promised to step with us. Forgive us, most merciful God, and give us the courage to reach toward you like the little child who reaches toward a loving parent, longing to be picked up and held close. You are to be trusted. May we believe that with our whole being as we reach toward you now, in Christ's name. Amen. God's forgiveness does indeed transform us. It gives us an opportunity to start out fresh and new every moment of every day. We have confessed our sins. Those sins are forgiven. Claim that gift. Live as though it made a difference, and share it freely every chance you get. Amen.
The first lesson is from Exodus chapter 1. Then a new king, to whom Joseph meant nothing, came to power in Egypt. "Look," he said to his people, "the Israelites have become far too numerous for us. Come, we must deal shrewdly with them, or they will become even more numerous, and if war breaks out, will join our enemies, fight against us, and leave the country." So they put slave masters over them to oppress them with forced labor, and they built Pithom and Ramesses as store cities for Pharaoh. But the more they were oppressed, the more they multiplied and spread. So the Egyptians came to dread the Israelites and worked them ruthlessly. They made their lives bitter and with harsh labor in brick and mortar and with all kinds of work in the fields. In all their harsh labor, the Egyptians worked them ruthlessly. The king of Egypt said to the Hebrew midwives, whose names were Shiphrah and Puah, "When you are helping the Hebrew women during childbirth on the delivery stool, if you see that the baby is a boy, kill him. But if it is a girl, let her live." The midwives, however, feared God and did not do what the king of Egypt had told them to do. They let the boys live. When the king of Egypt summoned the midwives and asked them, "Why have you done this? Why have you let the boys live?" The midwives answered Pharaoh, "Hebrew women are not like Egyptian women. They are vigorous and give birth before the midwives arrive." So God was kind to the midwives, and the people increased and became even more numerous. And because the midwives feared God, he gave them families of their own. Then Pharaoh gave this order to all his people: "Every Hebrew boy that is born you must throw into the Nile, but let every girl live." The birth of Moses. Now a man of the tribe of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could no longer hide him, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. Then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. Then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the riverbank. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her female slave to get it. She opened it and saw the baby. He was crying, and she felt sorry for him. "This is one of the Hebrew babies," she said. Then his sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?" "Yes, go," she answered. So the girl went and got the baby's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you." So the woman took the baby and nursed him. When the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses, saying, "I drew him out of the water." The second lesson is from Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 to 20. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They reply, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "What do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he ordered his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah.